Well, just a very few days ago, it was Christmas. And I was having a family evening meal by the time I got down to Plymouth with my sister Sue. And as ever, it was great nosh, great Christmas nosh. And in fact, I was rather taken by the parsnips. They just seemed a bit more crunchy and a bit more sweet than usual, not at all stringy. I know some faces screwed up, don't like parsnips, but they weren't at all stringy or dry or anything like that at all. And we were commenting on how nice they were. And Sue sort of pipes in with apologies and says, well, I didn't make them. They were from Frozen. Aunt Bessie's, I think, something like that. And we weren't blaming her for that at all. We didn't mind at all, but she went on kind of justifying it. And the potatoes too, and the carrots, and the sprouts. I didn't make any of them. Life's too short to chop vegetables. That's what she said. And that's a philosophy of life I've not come across before. Life's too short to chop vegetables. I do chop my own vegetables. But it seems like quite a reasonable philosophy of life. I'm not inclined to disagree with it by any means, and I'm certainly not going to try disproving it. Life's too short to chop vegetables. And I thought to myself, there must be a sermon in that somewhere. And there is. And you're getting it. Life's too short. It's an expression we use when we want to put something down as second best, quite often. Life's too short. Life's too short to spend the whole day queuing in the bargains and the post-Christmas sales. Life's too short to wrap up Christmas presents when you can buy one of those nice gift wrap things with string on it and you just sellotape it up rather than having to wrap things up yourself. Life's too short. It becomes a cliche. It's put its name to a TV show, which is on at the moment. But life's too short, of course, to while it away in front of the TV. Life's too short to stay in the job you don't like. Life's too short to worry about what other people think of you. Life's too short to diet. Life's too short to be miserable. Life's too short. Well, life's too short not to live for all it's worth and get the most out of life that you possibly can. Life's too short for everything that we want to pack into it. Well, life's just too short, isn't it? Full stop. And Jesus agrees that life is too short not to know the very best of life that is possible, not to know the meaning and purpose of life. Life's too short not to have life and take the gift of life. And Jesus says, that's why I came. I came to give a life worth living. And so my verse for this morning, I should have put it up on the screen. In fact, it is up on the screen, but it's much later in the presentation. So unless we've got a genius at the computer, which I know we have, don't bother. Because you can look at it in your Bible. It's on page 1076. It doesn't matter. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. It's a great verse, isn't it? Let me read it again. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, well, you know that there are many people who seem to be promising all kinds of things, but in the end, they're only coming to steal your life, to cheat you, to rob you. People that will use your life to benefit their life, to exploit you or to use you, and then they'll run away when life gets tough and when you most need them. There are plenty of people like that, says Jesus. There are plenty of religious people like that. I've actually been accused of that in the past, of using people rather than loving them. And that actually hurts to hear that. And if you feel I've ever used you rather than loved you, I do apologize for that. Well, Jesus puts himself in a different category to us, doesn't he? He puts himself in contrast. He says in verse 10, after contrasting himself with these thieves and robbers of the sheep, these false leaders, the false shepherds, the false ideas that might captivate someone's life, who he says grab hold of the sheep. They grab hold of God's faithful and they take them off in the wrong direction. And Jesus puts himself in contrast to them. I have come. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. In all of its overwhelming abundance. And life's too short to not tell you what he meant by that. So we're going to ask that question. Well, what is it that Jesus is meaning when he says this? Why is Jesus the best life we can have? Why can Jesus offer us the best life that there is? And I've got three reasons. And the first is a rather staggering truth, but it's what the Bible affirms. That Jesus is the best life because he's the source of all life in the universe and indeed beyond. Jesus is the source of all life. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't mean just we wouldn't be here in church as Christians today, but we wouldn't be alive, breathing, thinking, communicating, relating, loving. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Christ. All that life is, all that life means, all that life includes, says the Bible, comes from God, from Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is the source of all life that exists. It's a mystery. I can't fathom it. But it's the very core of our faith that it all comes from him. And it's one of the reasons in our church service already that we've been worshipping Christ. Not just honouring him, giving him respect, not just singing songs, which many people will just do, but giving him worship because he is the source of life itself. Listen to John again from the start of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Let me read you how Paul added to that in Colossians. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's Jesus. So what we're saying is our very existence, our past, our present, our future, our physical life, our emotional life, our relational life, our spiritual life, all flows from God in Christ. So to know Jesus means to know where you have come from and how to enjoy the fullness of life that is in him because he's the very source of it. And life's too short not to know that. And eternity is too long to find out too late that this is true. Because if Christ is the source of all life, then to refuse him, to choose not to know or get to know him, to not bind my life to his life, means ultimately to lose life altogether. To perish, that's what Jesus said. And life's too short for me to spend a whole sermon and not tell you that. Here's how John put it when he was writing his letter, as opposed to his gospel. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So this is the first reason. And I hope that you agree it's important that Jesus is the best life for us to have because he's the source of all life, including eternal life itself. But that leads me on to a second reason that Jesus is the best life, not just because he's the source of all life in the universe, but secondly, because he shared our life in order to show us what fullness of life really looks like. He shared our life to show us what fullness of life looks like when lived out. And especially at this time of year, this has been on our minds. I'm sure if you've been coming along to services with us over Christmas, you'll again have been touched by and marveled at this incredible paradox between who Jesus is and who he became for us. As John put it in his gospel, Jesus, who was the Word, life, the source of all life, the Word became flesh, said John, and came to stay amongst us and to live among us and to be one of us. He shared our life. It's incredible just to think about that he who was the creator of light opened his human eyes for the first time when he was born of Mary and had to adjust to the brightness and to learn how to interpret what he could see. He who was the very Word of God and therefore the source of all language and all communication was born not knowing a single word and had to learn how to speak through the mouths of his human parents. Amazing, isn't it? He came to share our life at its very basic, from the inside, literally, of the womb, from the bottom of the very heap, from ground level up, from the womb to the tomb. He came to share our life. And as he shared it, he did that in order to show us what a truly fulfilled human life looks like. Jesus came not only to give us life, but to demonstrate life. This is what a really human life ought to be like. So in his life and teaching we read of in the Gospels, he came to show us not only the good life, as we sometimes call it, but the best life. For example, I can't go through all the ways in which he showed us what it is to be truly, fully human, but a few examples. One example, life is about putting relationships above things. So Jesus, in his earthly life, he actually possessed almost nothing. Though he owned everything, he actually possessed nothing and lived his life loved by many people. And many people since then have come to relate to him and know him. He showed us that a really fulfilled life puts compassion and mercy as higher values than possessions. More important even than religious purity, when he had a few run-ins with various religious people. More important than social acceptability. He showed us that when he healed people on the wrong day of the week, so as people thought, on the Sabbath, people mattered more. When he spoke kindly to people that others rejected, like women and leprosy sufferers and prostitutes and tax collectors, he became friends of them, friends of sinners. He showed us that a truly fulfilled life is one of sacrifice and humility, not status and power and greed. In fact, he showed us that giving is better than getting. We say it at Christmas. We try to convince ourselves that it's true. When we spend more as we get older, then we receive back in presents. But it is the joy in giving. And Jesus showed that in his life. That his generosity produces life, whereas greed produces death. He showed us that forgiveness is better than vengeance. In short, Jesus showed us that when you are talking about a full life, life in its abundance, you're talking about a quality of life, not a quantity. He actually said on one occasion, a person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses, but ultimately only in knowing him. And of course he taught us above all that a life lived for God, whatever the cost, is to have everything worth having that there is. Whereas to have a life full of things that you can have, even if you have the whole world, but lose your soul, is a disaster. That's the kind of life that Jesus showed us. In our first reading in Deuteronomy 30, when Moses was pleading with Israel and said, choose life. What did he mean? He was saying to live knowing and loving the Lord your God and living in his ways, holding on to him, because the Lord himself is your life. This is the way to live. This is the best life. This is the life worth living, the life worth knowing. And applied to us as Christians, the life worth living is the life like Jesus had, wholly centered on loving God and living for him. And Jesus showed us this when he came and showed us his life, when he lived amongst us. Father, not my will, but yours be done. But of course, as we reflect on this, and we realise how wholly unrealistic it is. I mean, keeping New Year's resolutions, it's day five, isn't it? Day six. How are you doing, if you set them? It's almost impossible to keep our New Year's resolutions. It's almost impossible to live the kind of life that we see Jesus living, that we're called to live ourselves. How on earth can we live this kind of life up here when we know that it's more like down here? We've got Jesus, our model, but we never manage really to follow it. We have his perfect standard, but never live up to it. And of course, the answer is that we can't by ourselves, which is why we need to move on to our third point, which comes from John 10. Jesus is the best life, as we've said, because he's the source of all life in the universe. Secondly, yes, because he shared our life on earth in order to show us what true life looks like when lived out in humanity. But thirdly, because he sacrificed his life on the cross in order to share his life with us. First, he had to lay it down. Why is the life that Jesus offers us true life? Because he sacrificed his life on the cross in order to give it to us. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And of course, this is the ultimate gift of God, isn't it, to us? God so loved the world, he gave us his only son. And Jesus is saying here, yes, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And the life that they are offering to us is a self-giving love. And we know, of course, that Jesus is talking in advance about the cross. And we touched on that last week. The manger and Christmas is the prelude to the cross, where Jesus would stretch him out in all his glory and bear sins upon the cross. The cost of our sins, the consequence of our mistakes, the solution for all our disappointments, so we could have life in its fullness and live forever. Jesus says, that's why I've come, so that those who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life's too short. That's what we say, and it's true. But for those in Christ, it's not, because it is life itself. It's the very life of God in Christ, present in us, that we can experience. Listen to this from John 5. As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but has crossed over from death to life. Whoever hears the words of Jesus, John is saying, as we are now, and whoever believes in the one that sent him, God the Father, he has passed from death to life. This is what Jesus offers to us. And so he could say to the sister of a man whose life was cut short in the very next chapter, speaking to Lazarus, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. And he says to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe in this eternal life that I am giving to you, giving to you? You cannot achieve for yourselves, but it's my gift. And this is the promise of Jesus. But what about now, in the meantime, how are we going to live in 2013? It's the last of the Twilight films, I think. It's either at the cinema now or it's coming out on DVD now. Good riddance, probably, most of us would say, to the whole Twilight saga. But it has this slogan: when you can live forever, what will you live for? Now, there's a question to start off a good conversation. When you can live forever, what will you live for? How are we to live in the fullness of life, the abundance of life that Jesus has talked about in this life, in the here and now? And the answer is by Jesus living in us, by his Spirit. See, Jesus not only died, but took up his life again in resurrection. As we read in verses 17 and 18 in our reading, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus' resurrection. And this is the means by which we can come to live with him, and he can live within us and transform us to have the best life. Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And he was talking about how he put aside his old life and he took up the new life that Jesus had offered. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I think what he's saying to us is that our lives become the place where Jesus lives, where his standards and his priorities are lived out. We become the channel of his love. Our hands and feet become the hands and feet of his compassion for others. Our hearts and our affections become his heart in relating to others. We live the best life because Jesus is in us and he is the best. And that's what Jesus comes to give us. So that in our thoughts and in our actions, in our hopes and in our plans, in our decisions, that Christ is there living with us. Christ is in the past, clearing up the mess that we've made, clearing the wrongs and healing the hurts. Christ is in the future, leading the way, guiding our feet, holding our hand. Christ is there. As one of St. Patrick's hymns puts it, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ in every part of life. That is what makes the best life. Well, Jesus is the best life then, because he's the source of all life, because he shared our life in order to show us what human life really is, and because he sacrificed his life on the cross in order to share his risen life with us through the Spirit. How do we take hold of this again in this new year? Well, Jesus said in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. They listen and they follow. Life is too short to chop vegetables. Life is too short to do a whole lot of things. It's too short even to fit in all the important things that we wish that we could do. But it's not too short to do this one thing, and that is to get to know Jesus, to invite him into your life, to say, yes, Lord, this is me talking to you. Please come into my life and deal with all the stuff that is in here. Lord, I just want you to come in and sort me out and give me that life that you promise. Lord, you come and live in me and make it the best life, because you are the best. And that's what you can say to Jesus today at the start of this new year, because life is too short not to. Let me close there. And Helen's going to come and lead us in prayer.